And of course, we're going to have open lines for you now for the next couple hours here. I want you also to hit me with one of your scariest stories. Try to convince me that this is one of the scariest stories you've ever told or heard. You can do that by simply sitting back, relaxing, and coming right at us when we come right back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And of course, with open lines, what's ever on your mind is good too. So we shall be hitting the calls as we speak. Crystal in Modesto, California is with us on the Wildcard Line. Hello, Crystal.
Hi, George.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you? How's your night?
Night as well. I'm working.
Yeah. Good working nights, though, I think.
You know what? I've been doing it for so long, Crystal. I'm used to it. My body's used to it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm not sure I could handle working daytime anymore.
My mom, too. She's actually why I'm calling, but she's a nurse. And she works nights, and I don't think she'll ever go back either. She loves it, but...
There was a new study, though, that just came out that said people who work the night shift are more susceptible to heart attacks and things like that. So you got to be careful.
Well, she was just diagnosed with breast cancer, which is why I'm calling, okay. On June 28th. And we found out that there's lymph node involvement. She's had her mastectomy and her lymph nodes removed, chemo port put in. And I'm just really wanting or hoping that people can send some positivity over here because it's really hard.
Well, we'll put her on the prayer list, which means every Friday people just pray for the people on that list. And we'll put her, what's her first name?
Her name's Debbie.
Okay, we'll do that for you, okay?
Thank you so much, George.
Okay, you take care and you just make sure she... gets the best help. And do one thing too. I'm not a doctor. I'm not prescribing. But for years now, Crystal, we've been talking about a spice called turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C. And just get it to her. It's a spice. It's not going to hurt her. It's not going to interfere with any treatment that she decides to take. But I really think this thing is unbelievable. So you might want to get it. Go online. You can do it. You can get information at Christian Wild's website, myheartbook.com. Do that, and he'll guide you through that. But, look, that's just one thing I would do anyway, all the time. And I have gotten more people on this spice than you can imagine. But she'll be on the prayer list starting next Friday because this Friday's almost over. Let's go to Winchester, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Paul's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Paul.
Hello, George. First of all, I want to say that I did not know about your show until I saw you on Ancient Aliens.
Ah, okay. That's how you found out about us. Interesting. Okay.
Yes. I called before about an experience I had in the Air Force, and I have another experience. I want you to kind of think of what I may have seen.
Okay.
I'm not going to say what I think it was. I'll let you connect the dots. I was a construction manager as an officer at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in the late 80s. And one of the projects that I had was at Foreign Technology Division. Foreign Technology Division is set up to identify threats and weaknesses from foreign countries and then be able to take the information and help research and development on our own weapon systems. The building itself, large, two-story metal building, like a warehouse,
mm-hmm.
And it's surrounded by sensors, and you have an entry control point. So even if you have a top-secret clearance, you are escorted. So my project was on the second floor, and it was gutted to install high-tech computers and such. Again, it was a large building.
Okay.
And I happen to have the existing drawings to the building just to evaluate what the contractor was doing compared to what was there. And I was thumbing through the drawings, and I see a sheet that says basement. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is a two-story base building with slab on gray. There's no basement here. There are no doors to any basement. But I look, and the drawing says the name of the building, the number of the building, and sure enough, the footprint looks like the building, so it must be a basement. So I'm thumbing through it some more, and then I see a drawing, and it says in subdued lettering, says cryogenic chamber, and I'm thinking, and it's sized 50 feet by 70 feet.
Okay.
And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, I should not be looking at this, so I quickly, turned the page and made sure that my escort wasn't watching, but I think it was probably proof that that's where they had the cadavers from Roswell.
You think they're down there. What building was it? Can you tell us the number?
Oh, it was an Area A. In other words, Area B is the Research and Development Center for Aeronautical Systems Division at that time. Area A is another part, like for headquarters. Area C is the actual base level part of the base with the runway. So Area A has also like headquarters.
But you never saw an entrance to a basement, a stairway, an elevator, nothing like that, huh?
That building was so strange because you walk in, everything is white, the tile is white, wide corridors, white walls. The doors don't have numbers on them, or there's no directory, there's no names on it. It's all nondescript.
That's bizarre. There's got to be something hiding the way to get downstairs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, there's no way I was going to ask the question.
And it's got to be big enough for them to have gotten equipment down there to build the things that are down there.
Well, it's a huge building, George. It's like one of those big box warehouses. And, no windows, obviously. And,
Are there offices on the inside? I mean, is it remodeled?
The only part that I saw was what I needed to see, and it was the entire second floor, which was gutted out completely. And there was nothing there except what the contractor was doing and, putting conduit and, they were installing, all kinds of other things that computers.
Well, you know what a cryogenic chamber is used for? To keep bodies in there that they want to store forever.
Exactly. A cryogenic chamber, first of all, I'm thinking that what does it have to do with Foreign Technology Division? But if you extrapolate the term foreign technology, then you can involve any kind of foreign technology.
Yeah, that's a great story. I wish you could get us some more info on that. Let's go to Everett, Washington. It's Eddie's turn on Coast to Coast, west of the Rockies. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Eddie.
Once upon a time, I lived down in Florida, and this is another Bigfoot story I wanted to run through here real quick.
Sure.
Because I heard callers say that they had a skunk ape, and the guest said that they were a lot smaller. But actually what happened in my story was we had one crash to the roof of the house, and when the roofers came out the next day, they estimated whatever it was 600 pounds of force.
Wow.
To break 3 2x4s. It had climbed up this really high pine tree during a storm. And my roommate woke me up, said something screamed, sent chills down his spine. I ran outside. I was looking to see if I could see what this was. A couple of lightning strikes later, I figured I better get back in the house. I came back in, said, well, you better go back to bed. He said, I can't. It's raining on my bed. And him and his pregnant wife were sitting there shaking, and I went in the room, and it was like a half moon shape. Water was coming on the roof, running down on an angle where the 3 2x4s had broken, dripping on his bed. Next day, I go to work, and on the front page is a sketch of Bigfoot, and there were 7 sightings in a 28-mile stretch.
Something happened.
Just wanted to throw that one out there and let you know that's probably the scariest one I've got.
And do you think the 2x4s and the boards were broken because this creature was jumping, or just broke them because of its weight?
Well, when I came home and I saw the roofers up there, because my roommate was worried about having to pay for the roofing, and I told him that's why the landlord has insurance, but
that's right.
Anyway, you know, it was kind of hard for him to push it through the insurance and everything because of the mysterious circumstances, but whatever it was went up this pine tree and a limb had broken underneath its weight, and there was a limb laying on the roof, I would say probably 3.5 inches thick, and it was snapped right off, and whatever it was, it fell, and it let out this shrill scream that sent chills down his spine. And when he ran outside first to see what it was, and it screamed again, sent chills down his spine again. And, you know, when I came home from work and I saw the roofers, I asked them if they saw any weird hair or anything, and I showed them the front page of the paper, and they go, well, we don't know what it was, but we figure whatever it was had to have 600 pounds of force to snap 3 2x4s that were standing tall-wise. And it was one of those adobe roofs, you know, where it's flat and it's got the tar on top of 3/8 inch sheetrock or whatever. But, it snapped three of them and had this half-moon shape raining on his bed. But I came home and threw the newspaper in my roommate's lap, and I said, well, I guess I owe you an apology. And when he saw the sketch of Bigfoot, he said he got the chills all the way down his spine again. And I'll never forget that, you know. And then, you know, you hear these people think it's costume and makeup, but when they have to have an insurance company pay for a roof to be redone because some kind of animal that weighs 600 pounds, and I don't think they even have bears in the state of Florida. But, you know, I've seen wild boar down there and other kinds of critters, but I've never heard of a bear down there. But, you know, on YouTube, you can see Bigfoot sightings in Florida also, as well as the skunk ape. So just wanted to throw that out there and let you know, there's larger critters than skunk apes in Florida. And, you know, I'm a believer ever since that day.
I love that story. You wonder if the skunk apes could have done that, but they're not. I don't think they're 600 pounds. Let's go to Ross in Los Angeles. Hey, Ross, welcome to the program.
Hey, George.
Hey.
I just had a couple of things I wanted to talk about on the chemtrails. One thing is I know why they're doing it, one of the main reasons. And the other is I know the solution to it.
All right. What do you think they're doing?
They have this plasma field around the planet, and that's the chemtrails, and they produce a electric grid around the planet to keep the positive energy from transformational energy from the center of the galaxy from reaching us, and also the sun's evolving too and sending her energy too, or I guess you could call the sun a her. I kind of think of all planets.
Yeah. I think so.
But,
sure.
I believe that, you know, this, it's coinciding with the 2012. But I'm an inventor, and I have a solution to the chemtrail problem.
So what do we do?
There's a scalar technology that I believe you can only use for the positive. It's... it's my pyramid shape.
And what do you mean by scalar technology?
Well, from what I've seen, is that scalar basically is kind of like antennas, all the scalar technology they talk about. And, people ask me about my pyramid, and, actually, can I give you my website?
No, yeah. I prefer that we look at it first.
Oh, okay, sure. It's basically a frame pyramid, open air pyramid, and it has orgone corners. And being that it's open air, it somehow interacts with the environment, with the air up above as well, and it does a tremendously great job of getting rid of chemtrails.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Will, if you would, your website, and we'll take a look at it for you. Linda in Richmond, Virginia. Hey, Linda, welcome to the program.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I wanted to share this. I've tried to call numerous amounts of times. I know that you get a little creeped out about infant stories and ghosts, so
yes.
You might find this kind of interesting. Years ago, probably back in the early entrance to that building. So anyway, I had just moved there, and I probably had been there maybe a week, and it was in the winter. And I had seen the people in the building coming and going. There were children in the building. I think the youngest that I had seen was maybe 9 months, if that, you know. So anyway, I woke up one night, it was around midnight, and we didn't have any furniture in the house, just some army furniture we had borrowed till our stuff got there. So the house was fairly empty. We lived on the very top floor. Above us was an attic, and across us was an apartment that nobody lived in. So anyway, I woke up, and I heard a baby crying, and it was a newborn. And if you know about babies, there's a big difference in the cries.
I've had three of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, a two-week-old sounds so much more different than a nine-month. So anyway, I heard this baby crying. And I got up, and it maybe because the apartment was empty, I was thinking, it sounded awful loud. And I was thinking, wow, you know, and I got up, and I was standing looking out the window of my bedroom, and I was thinking, this baby just kept crying and crying, and I was like, why is this somebody tending to this baby, you know? So I don't know. I don't know how long the baby cried, maybe 5-10 minutes. It seemed like eternity.
Well, and it does.
Pardon?
It does. When they cry, it sounds like they're never going to stop.
Right, exactly. So it stopped, and I felt sad, you know, because I couldn't imagine somebody letting their baby cry that long, you know. So I don't know, a few more days later, again, the middle of the night, the baby crying. This time it sounded more like it was in my apartment. And I'm like, you know, I get up and I come out of my room and I'm standing in the hall. And the sound is extremely loud. It's almost like it was coming from the kitchen. And I'm standing there, and this goes on again for, you know, I don't know how long. And it stops. Well, at this point, I want to say, in our kitchen, it was kind of a weird thing when we first got there. Next to the sink, the kitchen sink, there was, I don't know, the army and how they save money. It looked like a toilet lid. And you could see that it was, see underneath there was a big pipe. So I assumed it was a garbage chute.
Okay, might have been.
They sealed it off.
All right.
Okay. So, which I thought was a little odd, but whatever, you know. So, again, a few more weeks later, this baby's crying again. Now this baby is, like, just screaming. And I get up, and I'm standing in my hall right there near the kitchen entryway. And at that point, I just said, I'm sorry. I can't help you. I wish I could. And it stopped. It stopped crying.
You mean like it understood you?
Well, I think there's something to be learned from that. I think that they acknowledge that spirits acknowledge you. My heart, I love to take care of infants as a living. So my heart just ached for that baby. And so the sincerity of, I wish if I knew I could help you.
And that it just stopped. And we're coming back, though, with more, Coast to Coast AM. Well, let's take a moment for our traditional shout-out, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your 560 favorite radio stations across North America, thank you so much. Coast Insiders, hello to you, XM Talk Channel 168. Then how about the various chat rooms and groups out there? Into Infinity. Hello, folks. Imaginative Worlds, Fantastic Forum 2, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, those of you who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, hello to all of you, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the Nighthawk Nation, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis, whom I haven't seen yet since I've been here, and I'm back in L.A. in a week. Anyway, thanks for supporting Coast to Coast Day Out. You know, even though our Shape Up North America campaign is over now, it doesn't mean that you should stop taking care of yourself. Our goal, 15 million pounds. I think we got pretty darn close to that all around this planet. But continue to think about yourself and your nutrition and everything else. Let's go back to the calls. Jason in Keene, New Hampshire. Hey, Jason. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Good.
I can't believe I'm on again.
You made it.
You guys are awesome. I'm so glad for this radio station.
Oh, thank you.
I got a crazy story for you.
Okay.
If you don't mind. It might be disturbing, but I don't want to disturb anyone. Everything is good in life, right?
It should be. Waking up in the morning is good.
Yeah, well, even the bad stuff turns out to be good. That's my point.
That's a good point.
You know, the Lord works in crazy ways with us here. So this is a way he worked with me in my life. Can I share? I'm trying not to be nervous here.
Yeah, give it a shot. Go ahead.
My goodness. All right, well, I was like 7 or something, and I'm watching Herbie the Love Bug, the old movie, with my family. There's like 7 of us. We're like a Brady Bunch, that kind of a disjointed family that came together.
Yeah.
And, so out of nowhere, like, I went to the bathroom, I guess, and next thing you know, I'm out in the living room, and I'm like, it wasn't me anymore. I was freaking out about Herbie the Love Bug, like that he was, like, coming to kill us or something like that. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at my family, and they're all looking at me, and I'm like, what the hell am I saying, you know? And then I came back to myself, and I always wondered what the hell happened. There's a couple layers of this story, and it's really worth it, I think. So next thing you know, I fall asleep on the couch, and they're all watching TV still. And I'm dreaming of the Earth, and I'm looking at the Earth from, like, outside the atmosphere. And all of a sudden, it just exploded. And it was like the loudest explosion ever. And I woke up screaming again to my, like, kind of smiling family. And they just said, you're dreaming, you know?
Yeah.
And I always wondered about that. And then
it was like the whole planet blew up, you mean?
Yeah. The ultimate explosion. I mean, maybe not the Big Bang, but I mean, at least just our Earth. And I was pretty close to it. So it was real loud and overwhelming. And I woke up screaming. And then I was just back to normal again. I guess I was dreaming. And then it was like 2003, and I went to go see Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know that movie?
Oh, yeah, great movie.
Yeah, it's pretty far out. And so I went with my buddy Russ, and we're watching the previews before the movie, and the new Herbie the Love Bug movie was on the preview. And I'm thinking, I said to my friend Russ, you know my old story about that Herbie story, right? And he's like, yeah. And then right away, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy starts. And how does it start? With that Earth, you know, the picture of the Earth. And I said, hey, it looked just like it did in that dream right after that happened.
That's right.
I said, don't tell me that's going to explode. And it exploded, you know, and all the pieces come right at you and stop. And it says, don't panic. The world is about to end. And, like, it pushed a tear out of my eye. And I said, if this movie sucks, I'm just so glad we came.
Well, you know what? I have been wanting to write a Hollywood script about astronauts that have left the planet. They're on their little mission. But as they look back, they see an asteroid hit the planet and destroy it. Be a great movie, by the way. Let's go to Bill Fulton, New York. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good, Bill.
Good. I know I'd missed your guest earlier today, but I wanted to relate to a real experience that I had. I'm actually from a little burg called Kalispell, Montana. And when I was about 20 years old, I went out and bird hunting one day. I had a little 16-gauge shotgun, a double barrel. And I was walking up this little unoccupied road, been going over for a number of years. And I started coming up this road, and boy, I started feeling this smell. I couldn't figure out what the heck. And I thought, well, maybe it's something just died or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I kept walking up there and kept walking and kept getting worse and worse. And I stopped, and I was looking around trying to figure out what's going on. And I couldn't see anything because the brush and stuff was pretty thick. But every time I take a little couple steps, you know, and heard these twigs snapping, I said, boy, I better stop and see what's going on, you know. And I couldn't find anything. I couldn't see anything. I said, well, every time I took a couple steps, this thing take a couple steps. I take a couple steps, this thing take a couple steps. So I said, well, you know, I don't think it's stalking me, but it's watching me, you know. So I turned around and went back to the car, and it actually followed me about a good 150 yards, I think. But I never saw it. And I think it was a Bigfoot.
Might have been. Yeah. Might have been. Great creatures. Good story, by the way. Thanks for relaying that to us. Let's go to Diana in Pasco, Washington. Hello, Diana. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. I'm so glad to talk to you. I waited a long time.
Well, thanks for... Yeah, you did. You have been almost an hour on hold, huh?
Yeah. I'm in Pasco, Washington,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen Bigfoot over by Yakima, Washington.
How close did you get to him?
It was late at night, like 11. I was driving down the highway, and he jumped over the hood of my car. And it was like a slow motion to me. And it's been 12 years ago, but I could still just see him, you know? And he was just huge, and he was like 9 foot tall. And jumped
right over it? He didn't hit the top of the car or anything like that?
Right over the hood. And I watched him, and he jumped over a fence and went into an orchard.
Was he pretty fast?
Yeah, but you know, when you're in that scared
mode, yeah.
Fright thing, it seemed like slow motion to me.
Maybe it was.
I don't know.
Another dimension, Diana.
But anyhow, I had this Spanish guy with me, and he was asleep. I had went up there to pick him up, and I didn't speak Spanish, and he didn't speak English, you know. And it scared me so bad. I drove about 15 miles up the road, and I pulled over, and I shook him awake, you know. And I said, I seen Bigfoot. And he said, what's Bigfoot? You know, he didn't know what it was. And I said, Sasquatch. And he said, oh, Sasquatch. He understood that.
He knew that, right? But he didn't know what Bigfoot was.
He knew what Sasquatch meant. And he was laughing about it. He thought I was nutty or something. So anyhow, so from then on, he'd tell all of his friends, yeah, Diana seen a Sasquatch.
Too bad you didn't have a camera.
And I went to my uncle's house, and he had a map of where sightings are of Bigfoot.
They're all over the place in Washington.
Yeah, and that certain area where I seen it was a big cluster.
Oh, yeah. It's huge down there. Let's go to Al in Toronto, Canada, International Line. Al, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Mr. Norrie. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Just a couple of things. Just today, I sent you an email to your George email, not to the show, so stand by for that.
Okay.
It's in relation to this thing you must have heard of, I'm sure, a couple of years back called the Montauk Monster.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
We've done some shows on that.
Well, great. I'm kind of new to this, but I'm not new to the endeavor, the disciplines that we're going to talk about just a bit. Anyway, with that said, Fresh, another one, in the East River. Now, this critter has appeared in Montreal, somewhere I think in around the Gulf part of Texas State, and a few others. Not alien stuff or angels or anything like that. People are finding this thing, and it's got a little bit of the Lee Harvey ring to it. The mm-hmm. garbage folks had found it. Oh, yeah, barbecued pig. Well, rest assured, George, the closest physical thing that I could relate it to would be something like a nutria rat. Okay.
How big is it?
Looks to be from just the surrounding things. It's a great thing. I'm not taking credit for it. The photo work is great. There's about 5 different shots of this, front, back, side. Like, it's well done. Nice pictures, too. The feet are rat-like or... what would you want to call it?
Rodent-like.
Yeah, rodent-like, exactly. No way at all. It's a pig. It's got a tail on it the length of a dog's tail, rat tail type of thing. Cylindrical, pointed at the end, at the tip. However, if memory serves me correctly, something wrong with the face. Again, it looks disfigured, but the dentition that I can see would clearly suggest it is something more like a dog than a rodent, if you get where I'm going with that.
Could it be a chupacabra?
I don't really think so, because I'm kind of you know, reserved in that regard. I come from a very hard science background, and most of the people that I deal with all the time, including the Sasquatch thing, you know, I'm into that so much. It's just the way I like to put it to them, and it seems to shut them up, the naysayers, is I say, look, do you think the Salish Indians in B.C. were doing this to get on the National Enquirer? You know?
Yeah, good point.
I said it goes way back. I said, and these people, fantasy and all that extrapolated, sure, people can lie and all that, but I said, why is there a consistency to it?
Could this creature be something deformed?
I'm thinking that. I wrote you a little bit of a TikTok with it, you know, to just give you an idea where I'm coming
okay.
from. It looks to me, strictly speaking, and that's a really good estimation. Again, no airy-fairy stuff, hardcore. It looks to me like what I would say, given the idea that they dismiss it as a pig. Oh, a pig. Well, it wasn't a pig, okay? Anyone can tell. You don't have to be scientific. But anyway, here comes the keeper. So where is it? Oh, we tossed it.
Now, what do you mean? What do you mean we tossed it?
That's their answer. You'll see it. I can only go so far with a quick rundown, but I sent you the email. You'll read the stories.
They got
the garbage
rid of
folks
it.
That came to retrieve the cadaver. They'll bear this in mind. This is not you finding it.
This could
backyard.
Be history, and they throw it away in the garbage.
Yeah, well, there's one guy in Dallas, and there's no aliens. Like, I mean, I'm on to all this stuff. I mean, basically, it's rooted in a lie, okay? They've got it somewhere, and they didn't get to it quick enough for a boyfriend, girlfriend out taking a walk along the beach. Nice day. It all makes sense. The real way makes sense. But when they say, okay, it was a barbecue pig, and it's garbage, these are the garbage folks. And it bears this number one question again. You're the garbage guys, right? What do you do with your garbage? Next question. Like, we threw it away. Like, threw it where? Well, let's go see it.
Yeah. What's left of it? Alda, I'll look for the email. We'll see what's there. Margaret's in Ukiah, California. Did I pronounce that right, Margaret?
You sure did.
All
Good
right.
Good morning. Hi.
Morning to you. Hi.
I've got something that freaked me out.
What happened?
Well, I was house-sitting for some friends, and I was by myself with the dog, and we were up in the attic room that had been converted. It was a kind of a long hallway, really. Bedroom at either end and windows at either end. And I woke up one night, just woke up, bolt out of bed, just kind of startled, and this light was coming through the opposite end of the house. I was thinking, well, we're up on the third story. It can't be a car. And it kept getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And then it started coming down the hall and coming down the hall, kind of like a comet or something.
Okay.
And it went up over my head and through the window at the head of my bed. And then this being kind of materialized out of it and stood right next to the bed. It was about, I'd say, probably about 6'3", 6'4", something like that. And then all these little colored lights, like, I don't know, just points of light in different speeds and different colors started going through this comet tail. And it was like this beam was directing it. Freaked me out. Just like a little kid, I just pulled the covers back over my head. I thought, am I hallucinating? What's going on?
Yeah, and hope
I
it goes
closed
away.
My eyes. I literally pinched myself to see if I was dreaming. And I had bruises the next morning. No, I wasn't dreaming. I pulled the covers back down. It was still there. I was like, what is going on? I was afraid to touch it. It was so close to me by the bed. I could have touched it, but it didn't seem to even notice that I was there. It was like it was interdimensional or something. This went on for, God, it must have been 10 minutes before this thing, the colors kind of finally, it was like it was directing these things, whether they were souls or some sort of craft, I have no idea. And then it kind of materialized up into it. The light at the end of the house faded like the end of a comet tail. And then the room got dark again.
It was gone.
What happened? And the dog never woke up. And for all the fact that it was so bright, it never gave off any heat either.
And you're sure it was in the room? It wasn't coming through the window or anything like that?
Well, initially, the stream of light came through the window, but it couldn't have been caused by, like, a car or anything. I was on the third floor. And, you know,
what about a silent helicopter, maybe?
No, no, it made no noise whatsoever. It was silent. There was a being next.
Well, they have silent helicopters now.
Well, but this being wasn't a helicopter. I know that much. This being that was next to me, it freaked me out.
Yeah, well, but it wasn't like a shadow person, huh?
No, it was made of light. It was completely.
Huh.
It lit up the entire room.
Something then. And did anything happen to you afterward? I mean, any good luck or anything, or any tragedy or anything?
No, not really. The stream of light was above my head, like about a foot above my head. I could have reached up and touched it, and I almost did, but I was afraid I was going to get drawn up into it. And I was afraid that the being might actually notice that I was there. It kind of ignored me like I wasn't even there, like I was an ant or something. And then, like I said, it just kind of materialized. It faded up into the end of what I think of as like a comet tail. And then the light gradually faded out through the window at the head of my bed and left.
And just disappeared. Well, let me tell you, people are experiencing very strange things. And I think we're going to see more strange things as things begin to change around this planet. I mean, pretty darn dramatically as well. Let me give you, by the way, my email address, because I do get a lot of emails from you. It's george@coasttocoastam.com, george@coasttocoastam.com. Let's go to Diane in Laurel, Montana. Let's squeeze you in here. Diane, go ahead.
Hi, George. Good evening to you.
Hi.
My quick story is a kind of interesting Bigfoot story that was told to me by a friend of mine in a rock club here in Montana, because I was interested in gold panning, and they have a gold prospecting place up in the North Cascades.
Did you ever find gold, by the way?
Yeah, they did, but they gave it up because they went up there one spring, and my friend Jim, which is not his real name, went to do some test prospecting at the creek, and his wife was unloading, you know, their pickup truck and putting stuff in the cabin and sweeping it out, and all of a sudden she hears her name, Carol, and she's like, oh, what does my husband want? He was just here, you know. And then she hears Carol, and so she walks outside to go what at him, and he's down, kind of down there from their little cabin there in the creek.
Well, it wasn't him. Standing. Who was saying it?
A black shadow from the woods.
Oh, my gosh. All right, we'll be back.